Okay, I would like for you to please go to the book of Romans. That's where we're going to start. Book of Romans, chapter 10. Over the past couple of weeks, I guess, we've been looking at some things regarding believing and one of the things that's come up is that, you know, believing is based on, or biblically anyway, believing is based on information that comes from God. God has chosen to reveal himself in his word. And when we have a relationship with this word, we can have a relationship with God. You know, I said a couple weeks earlier, you can look and see, you know, just at creation and see that there's a God. But to know him, to know how he thinks, to know what's important, to know what's right, his plan of salvation, things regarding Jesus Christ, all of those things are revealed in his word. And I was thinking about, you know, this upcoming year, if the Lord tarries. Just for my own life. But I just want to get to where the word is bigger to me than it's ever been, God's word, and the time that I spend in God's word. Not because I have to, not because, you know, I need to spend time in the word or whatever. It's because that's where I learn about my Father. That's where I learn about who I am in Christ. That's where you learn about who you are in Christ. It's in his word. It's in his word. I wanted to start here in Romans chapter 10. And these are familiar verses. But that's okay. Verse 9, because they're good verses. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation or deliverance. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed or put to shame. And that shame here, it's that shame that results from being disappointed in your expectations. You know how you get your hopes up for something? And then it's like, that ain't so great. It's kind of disappointing. That's not going to happen here. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, or Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, and this is what I wanted to get to, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on him? How can they confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead? See? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's really something. And how shall they preach except they be what? Except they be sent. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The word for preach here is a word, it comes from the word caruso. And in Greek culture, the caruso was, he was appointed by someone who was in authority, and he would proclaim, or he would herald an announcement or a pronouncement. That's what this is talking about. He is sent by somebody with authority. See? Isn't that something? He's sent, and he heralds to proclaim or to announce, to make you aware of something so that you can what? So that you can act on it, so you can believe. See? Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who's believed our report? So then, verse 17, believing comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The word of God. See? Hearing comes. So the believing we're talking about is that believing that comes from hearing the word of God. Those who herald, proclaim. So that people can hear, so that people can what? Believe. Isn't that beautiful? It's that simple. See? And that's believing. Hearing comes by the word. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. It's kind of neat because on your way to Proverbs 2, there's a great verse in Hebrews 11. Verse 6, I believe it is. It talks about believing. Without believing, it is impossible to please Him. That's what pleases God. It's the believing of His Word. Isn't that something? It's the believing of His Word. That's what pleases Him. His desire is for all men to be saved. And He makes that known in His Word. Proverbs 2. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear or the reverence of the Lord, and find the what? The knowledge of God. Isn't that something? And find the knowledge of God. It's His word. It's His commandments. That's what we keep. That's what we hide in our hearts. It's so well worth the effort. You know, back to that verse in Hebrews 11:6. Another thing it says is that He is a rewarder of them that what?
Diligently seek Him.
That's right. That diligently seek Him. See? Isn't that something? When we put that word on in our hearts, we make that word a priority, we hide that heart, we find the knowledge of God. That's pretty cool. Pretty humbling. Let's go to Proverbs 9. And then we're going to back up a little bit back to Deuteronomy. But I wanted to read this in Proverbs 9. Verse 10. It says, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy. That's put for God. Isn't that neat? The knowledge of God is what?
Understanding.
The knowledge of God is understanding. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 6. This is during the time or the administration of the law. Referring here, what we're going to read in Deuteronomy, referring to the law of Moses, which was God's word. It was God's word to Israel. In chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine what?
Heart.
Shall be in thine heart. See? We learned in Romans, we believe with our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Right? That's where believing comes from. It's from the heart. And heart is put for, you know, your mind. The innermost part of your mind. What you really believe. And what you really believe is what you're really going to act on. What you really believe is what is going to come out of your mouth. See? So that's what we're talking about here. With all thine heart, with all thy soul, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. See? Now how's that going to happen? Well, you teach them. You teach them diligently unto thy what? Children. And you talk about them when you sit around in your house. And when you walk by the way. And when you lie down. And when you rise up. Isn't that great? And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. It's like, you know, maybe you're not going to wear something between your eyes, but, you know, it's what you're looking at. You set it up. You set up your home. It's what you're looking at. Things that remind you about God, about God's word, about the Lord Jesus Christ, but who you are. You're teaching your kids. You're teaching your kids. You know, you don't pass up opportunities to teach them about God and about how God works, about his word. See, you teach them. Teach them. Isn't that something? And then it gets in their heart. See? Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Boy, this guy's really into God. You know, I mean, for the time you walk in, you know, the properties, like, you know, whatever, verses, and I don't know. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which you dug not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou what? Forget the Lord. Wow. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You do this lest you forget. You know, life gets good. You're not as hungry as you used to be. Start thinking, wow, I've really done some great things here. I'm quite a man. Do you ever hear such a thing? Yeah. You know, and you start forgetting. You start forgetting God and who he is. And his faithfulness, his greatness, and how that really, without God, I got nothing. I'm bringing nothing to this table. See? That's where I want to keep my head. That's why I build it in my heart. That's why I take the time with it. See, that relationship with God's word and learn about my Heavenly Father so that I don't forget. And so when the rubber really meets the road and the heat's on and you're in situations, you don't forget. You don't forget. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. We're going to spend a little time in Luke here. And I am not going to say we're going to take a look at Luke.
Don't do it.
All right, don't do it. Luke chapter 10. I love this record. Because it's just so human. You know, this world, and I've shared this a million times, and I'll share it a million more times. This world is designed to make it so that you don't have time to get to the things of God. It's just set up that way. It's the way it's designed. You know, job and, you know, kids and obligations and, you know, whatever it is. You know, it's to make time for the things of God, to make time for spending time in God's Word, make time for prayer, so on. You know, and those are things that that we have to decide what our priorities are going to be. It's not like the world's going to accommodate you. You know, it's like the world's going to say, okay, all right, we see you're serious, so we're going to... It doesn't work like that. That's not how it works. But there's a great record here. I love it because it's just so human. In Luke chapter 10. This is Jesus in verse 38. It says, Jesus Christ says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Really something. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, heard what he was saying, what he was teaching. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Now, look, if you were having Jesus over, you'd probably want to make sure you had some things together, right? Yeah. I get that. I understand that. See? And Martha, you know, she was a little frantic. But what she did was, is she got upset. And that's what we're going to see. She got upset with Mary. Because I'm doing all the work. See? So she gets upset with Mary, her sister. Yeah. Mary was listening to Jesus. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, hey, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? You tell her to help me. This is great. You tell her to help me. You ever felt like that? You know? You tell her to... And then he says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Mm-hmm. But, only, and I believe the text reads, only one thing is needful. Mm-hmm. And Mary has chosen that good part. Isn't that something? Which shall not be taken away from her. Wow. You are careful and troubled. Martha, Martha. You know, when you get, I say this to myself when I get uptight. You know, it's just like, gosh, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. And I'll say to myself, Martha, Martha. That's all it takes. It's Martha, Martha. And I remember, you know, slow down, right? She was, and that word careful is that it's from the word merimneo. I believe it's the word merimneo in this record. And it's that, you know, that divided in mind. You know, thrilled that the Lord was at the house, but weighed down with all this stuff and then became upset with her sister. It's like, sister doesn't really care. She doesn't care. Isn't that something? You ever hear such a thing? Sometimes these things happen, don't they? Let's go to Luke chapter 8. We're almost done here. But in looking at some of these records, I thought about this, because this is another record where that word for care is used. And it's a record we're all familiar with, but I thought it would be a blessing and beneficial if we read it again. Luke chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 12. Oh, did I write down the wrong scripture? Luke, hey, hold on, I'm sorry. No, I didn't. This is right. I was looking at the wrong chapter. This is the record of the sower and the seed. And Jesus Christ is now explaining the parable because his disciples wanted to know, what does this mean? So, verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is what? It's the word of God. So that's what we're talking about here. This is God's word. Okay? God's word. How he chooses to make himself known. The word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See? The sower sowed seed, and it was different types of ground. And one of them was on the wayside, just, you know, landed on, I think it was landed on a rock, if I remember right. Maybe I should read it. Verse 5. Sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, in verse 6, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Verse 8. And other fell on what?
Good ground
and sprang up. So we have these four different types of ground that this seed fell on. And that's what Jesus Christ is explaining. So those that were by the wayside, then cometh the devil. They hear, but the devil comes and he takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe in what? Be saved. Isn't that something? They hear, but the devil comes. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 where it talks about the God of this world and how he... Let's read it. Keep your finger here. We're going to come right back. If you don't want to turn there, that's fine, but I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Where?
2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Yes, chapter 4. Verse 3. If our gospel be hid, but if our gospel be hid, it is him hid to them that are lost or are perishing. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world or this age hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine unto them. Isn't that something? You know, that's what the devil does. That's what the adversary does. He blinds the minds of them that believe not. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8. And that's what happened in this instance. Verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear... Okay. They receive the word with what? With joy. And these have no root. In Matthew, where this parable is also recorded, it says they have no root in themselves. Here it's they have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, what? Fall away. That's something. See? They have no root. This is an example of somebody who hears the word, they receive it with joy, this is wonderful, but they don't make it their own. They don't take it to heart. See? They may rely on other people believing. They may rely on other people, but they don't take the word to themselves. This word temptation is the word put to the test, to prove. It's used in James chapter 1. Where it says, let's read it. James chapter 1. Keep your finger, we're coming right back to Luke. Hebrews, James chapter 1, I think it's verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers, what?
Temptations.
That's something. You count it all joy. And this temptations is to put it to the test. See? It's also used in Peter, 1 Peter, where it says, think it not strange. Think it not strange that you're tempted. That's part of life. That's where the rubber meets the road. There's another great verse in 2 Peter where it says, God knows how to deliver his people out of temptation. Isn't that something? He knows how. But what we're reading about is somebody who receives it with joy. Let's go back to Luke 8. And he doesn't make it their own. And the result of that is that when temptation comes or when their believing is put to the test, they fall away. It's over. Isn't that something? Because they didn't make it their own. They had no root. Back in Luke 8, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares, that's that word merimneo, with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to what? Miss something. They get choked out, and it's just, you know, in the one instance you have, you know, pressures when your believing is put to the test. See? There's another verse in James where it says, happy is the man that endures his believing being put to the test. That is translated temptation. Happy. You know why blessed or happy is that man? Because he sees God's faithfulness to his word and sees that word work. See? And it's a word we can stand on. It's a word that's absolutely faithful. Isn't that something? So you have the pressure of putting believing to the test. And here, it's like the pleasures of life, the cares, the, you know, just the different things that distract. See? And they're more important, or they take more time, or they're more pressing than God's word. That's some. Yeah. And it chokes. It chokes that word out. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Isn't that something? You know what that word keep is? They hold on. I ain't letting go. That's what that is. I'm not letting this go. I'm not letting it go. See, they keep it. You know, when I first read these verses many, many, many years ago, when I first started reading the Bible, this section, kind of, this parable kind of freaked me out a little bit. Because I was worried about what ground I was. I didn't know. You know, what if I'm the rock? What if I'm rock? Yeah. You know, what if that's, I did, and I worried, and I just like made up my mind. You know, I'm not going to be rock. I mean, but unbeknownst to me, what I was doing was right. Because it's not what I am, it's what I decided. You understand?
Yeah.
Nick, and it's neat. And so we decide that. We make the decision, you know, as to what the priority of God's word is going to be in our lives. We decide that. It's not decided for us. It's not because, you know, you have thorns in you. You know, you decide what the priority of God's word is going to be. If you're going to build God's word in your heart, there's always going to be things. The stuff's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Martha, Martha. You know? But it's always worth building God's word in your heart. See? Lest we forget. Right? Mm. That's right. Yeah, let's keep reading. We're just about done. We're just going to read a couple more verses here. Verse 16. Because this continues here. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, and puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may what? May see the light. Isn't that something? For nothing is secret, and shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. See, I'll tell you what, when it comes to God's word and the light of God's word, you can only hide for so long. You know? It shows. It's because it's either in your heart or it's not. It's either in my heart or it's not, right? It's something. Verse 17 again, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Verse 18, take heed, therefore, how ye what? How ye hear. Isn't that something? Take heed. And really, what these verses mean, take heed how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seems to have. Really, what this verse is talking about is the value that we place on God's word. That's right. Okay. The more value and the more of a priority God's word is, the more shall be what?
Given.
Isn't that something? And the less of the priority it is. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really not, it's not what's valuable to me. Other things are of more value. So take heed how you what?
Hear.
Isn't that, it blesses me. It's not like I'm a predetermined rock. You know what I mean? I got a say in this thing. And we do have a say in this thing. And we have a God who is faithful, and a God who will help us to stand on his word. Isn't that something? And we read that earlier. See, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See? So, amen? So if the Lord tarries, this is going to be a great year. All right? So that's what I wanted to share.